So good. Well, good morning, and welcome again to New Life Church. So, we've covered a lot of ground already this morning, so I'm going to try to just wrap this up. It's so good to see Adam and Michelle here. And just to hear their testimony of what it has meant for them to be sent by this community. And then it's so good to see all of the refugee family here together. And we celebrate that. Here at New Life Church, one of our aims is to be a serving church. A church that's sent out to be that community of Christ followers who serve God and who serve one another and who serve our neighbors. And as we sit here on a morning like this, it's beautiful to be able to celebrate some of the fruit of that. But there is so much more. And notice Jennifer Mpungu is here too, and she's helped to coordinate all of the refugee effort, and it's taken a lot just to coordinate all of that. But Jennifer continues to work with churches to bring refugees because there are so many refugees remaining in this world. And it's wonderful to have Adam and Michelle back. But there are so many who are still caught in sexual abuse, in the sex trade. Hans and Paula Sheevan just came back from Thailand, actually. And I was talking to Paula about their experience. They went for a trade show for business, but then took some time for vacation as well. And Paula was just blown away by the blatant offers in the sex trade that are available there. And so, as we seek to be that community of Christ that says, we serve God and we serve our neighbors, we extend a hand of help. We extend a hand of God's mercy to people in need. We want to think about what it means to be a serving people. And that's challenging. Exactly because we have it so good here. And then it's so hard to often transition our lives into a life of service. So we're taking these next several weeks to take a look at what does it mean to serve? And what are the challenges? Because when we look in Scripture at the people who served God, who served one another, who served their neighbors, it's usually uncomfortable. Last week we took a look at Jonah. All the discomfort of hearing the call of God to go to a place where Jonah didn't want to go. This morning I want us to take a look at a story back in Genesis chapter 22, that concerns Abraham, that great father of the faith. And I'm going to take the time to read the entire story and then be more brief in terms of its reflection. But follow along with me, either in your Bibles or on the screen. Here's the story, Genesis chapter 22. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, Abraham replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, which means laughter, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain that I will show you.
Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance, and he said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. And as the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. And when they reached the place God had told him about, Abram built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And then he reached out his hand and he took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns, and he went over and took the ram, sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. And so Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possessions of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Isn't that a crazy story? Quite simply, it's an outrageous story. It stands on the brink of ridiculous, actually. How did Abraham get through that? That call of God, that outrageous call of God. I want to point out three things in the story. It's such a full story. But in the first place, Abraham faced, quite frankly, an uncomfortable God. You and I face an uncomfortable God. God in this story is the outrageous one. That's uncomfortable. I mean, an obvious response to this story is simply to say, "God, you're wrong. You cannot call me to do this. You're wrong. It's wrong to kill. It's wrong to kill a son. It's wrong to endanger a son. It's wrong to traumatize a son. God, you're wrong." The thing to realize is then that we live with an uncomfortable God. God present here in our world. And the thing that we easily lose sight of is that this is God we are talking about, and that makes it uncomfortable because God is supreme, absolutely supreme. A God who can demand anything and absolutely everything of us because he's God. We emphasize, and it's a good thing, but we emphasize that God is love and that he takes care of us, and that he surrounds us with his care, and that God is compassionate and merciful. And the danger of that is that we can easily make God into our buddy, the guy who will always do good on us. But God is God, and that means that he can demand anything of us, or he's not God. He's a God who can make an outrageous claim on us because he fashioned us like a potter molds clay. Yes, God is a God of love, and that makes it easy to imagine him as our buddy, but that scriptural phrase, the fear of the Lord, isn't just a nice euphemism for polite respect. It's instruction for living with an uncomfortable God. We live with an uncomfortable God, but we also need to realize that we serve this uncomfortable God. We serve him. God has the authority to test us, as we're told in verse 1. Right off the bat, this is a test. That establishes the relationship between God and us. He can test us. Why? Because he has the authority to do that. He's not here just to cater to our whims to ensure that our life will always be happy. And so God calls Abraham's name. And here's the thing. Abraham hears it. And he states that beautiful scriptural phrase of a servant, "Here I am." We hear it twice in this story. We hear it with Isaiah when God calls calls Isaiah to prophesy in Isaiah 6. Isaiah says, "Here I am." We hear it with Samuel when God calls Samuel's name. "Here I am, your servant hears." Abraham heard his name, and here's the thing. Having heard his name saves him. Saves him exactly in this story. Not only does he respond immediately when God calls him to this outrageous act, but his readiness to hear God at the beginning of the story saves him at the end of the story. He's ready to sacrifice his son. His knife is over top of him. He's ready to slay. He's going to do it. And God calls out his name a second time. "Abraham, Abraham." And Abraham responds the same way that he had responded earlier. "Here I am." It saves him. So here's the question for us. As we look at Abraham being called to serve an uncomfortable God, as Abraham hears his name, do you hear God calling your name? Would you ever recognize that? Do you live your life attentive to God calling your name because he has the authority to test you, to call you out and to say, "Here's something I want you to do"? Would you ever hear God call your name? Abraham gets through this outrageous scenario because he faces an uncomfortable God, but he also recognizes that he faces a very uncomfortable response. The striking thing in this story is that when God calls Abraham to serve, Abraham simply goes into immediate action, or perhaps even better, into reaction. He's simply responding to God's call on his life. Abraham is at no time in control here. There's no control. His life is completely given over to this outrageous God who can demand anything and everything from him. Abraham is all action. in obedience to his God. You know, the thing is, we get that when we're raising kids, it seems to me. We understand that as parents, we can demand anything of our children, and they must obey. We get that. Challenge, of course, is do we get that when we're grown up? When we think that we have the control of our own life? On the board level here at New Life Church, we've been going through some strategic planning, future ministry plans. We've been trying to sort out all of the information. The congregation had all kinds of input into that, and we've been gathering more information. We're sorting through it all, and one of the huge challenges for us is to put aside our agenda and to keep asking ourselves, God, you're in control, so what would you have of us? Discerning our response to God's call, to be ever mindful of that, and then to obey, to have that readiness to act, not based on our control, but based on God's call on our life. How do you do that? Here's how. To cast that uncomfortable response, to be able to let go of control and to simply say, here I am, and then to act, is to worship. Not just to gather on Sundays, sing some songs, listen to a preacher who goes on too long, and then that well-anticipated lunch. Abraham asserts no objections, no alternatives, no bargaining. He prepares the sacrifice. He acts because foremost on his mind is the worship of his God. A God even who asks outrageous things. The next time you're called to serve, place that foremost in your own mind, that call to serve is not just an annoyance to say, oh shoot, now another thing yet to do. But that on the foremost of your mind is to say, ah, an opportunity to worship my God. The next time that Abraham speaks, that's the first time Abraham speaks. It's the first time he asserts himself at all. And the way he asserts himself is to say, we are going to worship God. The second time he speaks to his son. When his son asks, Dad, where's the lamb? And Abraham replies with a very vague, God will provide. Abraham's uncomfortable response indicates that serving God is not a matter of negotiation. Serving God is not a matter of an option. Serving God is not a matter of whether you get to decide whether you have time for it, or whether you're equipped for it, or whether you have the resources for it, or whether you have the inclination for it. Serving God is an admission that you and I have nothing unless God provides. It's too easy for us to separate between providing for ourselves and serving God. And when we separate those things, then it's an easy step to say, well, I better take care of myself, otherwise other people have to do it for me, and that would just be shameful or embarrassing or wrong. And so we find it easy to ignore serving God because we're all about providing for ourselves, and that will never end. Serving isn't a matter of whether you have the time or the resources. God will provide. Your call is to trust and obey. Abraham faced an uncomfortable God. He remained faithful. He faced an uncomfortable response, and he went into action. What Abraham perhaps didn't know right at the time, until the very end, was that he faced an uncomfortable test. How did he make it through that uncomfortable test? Of course, what test is comfortable? And yet, if you trust the test giver, if you know that the test giver is on your side, well, that makes it a little easier than to take the test, don't you think? And that makes a world of difference. In other words, Abraham knew the test giver. That's how he faced this uncomfortable test. He knew who the test giver was. Abraham knew God to be a providing God. Later on in the New Testament, Hebrews commends Abraham for this action exactly. Why? Because Hebrews says Abraham knew God to be a God who could even overcome death. And in submitting to that test, Abraham discovered that God was a God of honor, a God who could be trusted no matter what. So to serve God in that way, to serve God may mean that you're in the middle of a test and you don't even know it. How are you going to get through? How are you going to face that uncomfortable test? Know Him. Know your God. We believe a lot of things about God, but do you trust that? Do you trust all of the things that you believe about God? You believe that He's a providing God. Do you trust that? You believe that God is a gracious God. Do you trust that? You believe that God is a God of compassion. Do you trust that? Do you know God? And do you know Him as the master of your life? Can you trust Him with your life? Because God is the master. Or He's not God. And then other things in your life likely are God. Author and priest Andrew Greeley said, quote, if Jesus makes you feel comfortable with your agenda, then He's not Jesus. And quite likely it's some other idol in your life if you're comfortable with your agenda. Do you know your God as the one who saves so that you can surrender everything to Him? Here's the second thing. Perhaps you need to examine your life to say, what am I holding back on? What am I reserving for myself? Why don't you trust Him? What is that about? Do you think He'll take it away if you trust Him with it? Do you suspect that God's just out to get you? Or that maybe God just always gets His way, so why even bother? What's that about? What do you hold back on in your life? It's a critical question. Question that Abraham evidently answered with, I got nothing. I got nothing. And then finally, and ultimately, do you know your God as that God of love? Because here's the amazing thing about the story, of course. It's the unmistakable parallels with God himself. Abraham is called to sacrifice his only son, through whom all people of the world would be blessed. But God provides a way out for Abraham and for Isaac. But then as God completes the story of God himself, and as we get to know the rest of the story, we see a God who sacrifices his only son, and there is no way out. And he sends his son to the cross so that you and I could have life, so that you and I could live in the provisions of God, so that you and I could live in the fullness of life by sacrificing his one and only son. Do you know that kind of love? Do you have an eagerness to live in that kind of love? God sacrifices his only son so that we can live forevermore. Get to know that God. Know that God. Entrust your life to that God. And then you can face an uncomfortable God. You can face any uncomfortable response. You can face any uncomfortable test as a servant of your God. Let's pray together. Father, you are our Father. We've come to know you, but there's always more to know about you. Even as we examine our lives and the hesitancy we have to completely serve you with all of our living, all that we are and all that we have. And God, maybe this morning this story startles us. Or maybe we're even tempted to reject it and dismiss it outright because it's just too ridiculous. And so we pray, Father, that by the power of your Spirit, you embrace us so that we can know you more as that God, supreme over all, God of the universe, God over our lives, with complete authority because you've made us and you've redeemed us and we are yours. Help us to surrender everything to you. Help us to see ourselves not as masters of our own lives, but as humble servants of our Lord and our Savior. And so, God, give us listening ears to hear your call in our lives. And when we hear you speak our name, may we be ready to respond, "Here I am." We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand?